party. We're all at the party. And no one here will miss you.
they're out. Kind. Can't you be kind? Hey guys, it's Brian Young of A Crash Course for the Ravers.
It's a crash course for the Ravers.
Where we play deep cuts, lost classics, live tracks, your requests, and plenty of local rock sprinkled throughout. I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Marie Michelle.
That's me.
1 to 4 p.m. Saturdays. Don't miss it on 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
Listen carefully.
Yeah!
Okay, get back.
What do you hear?
Good beat.
Yes!
Do you know what that is?
No, that's right. Okay.
That's the sound of someone being there. The sound of someone caring about a kid.
Good shot! Yes! Yes!
That's the sound of a mentor. See a movie together, play catch, or just hang out. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once?
Didn't work out, we tried blowing your mind, but it didn't work out.
But she turned her back on her stardom because she wanted to be alone. Well, you can see all the stars as you walk down Hollywood Boulevard. Some that you recognize, some that you hardly even heard of. People who work, suffer and struggle for fame. Doesn't matter who you are, and those who are successful be always on your guard. You see, success walks hand in hand with failure on the Hollywood Boulevard. Well, you can see all the stars as you walk down Hollywood.
Pieces, bits and pieces. This band together. I mean, why have the Ramones endured when so many other bands fall by the wayside? And, you know, a lot of your contemporaries, certainly the Ramones spearheaded the punk explosion in 76 and 77. There's not very many of those bands left today, and here are the Ramones.
Well, I guess it's because we really enjoy doing what we do. And there's, you know, without sound cliche, there's a real love for what we do. You know what I mean? We enjoy playing, we enjoy touring, we enjoy playing for our fans because we feel they're the best, and we enjoy playing for ourselves, you know what I mean? And I don't know, I think it's the ultimate high and it's the best therapy in the world, you know?
What do you remember about that first tour of England in 1976?
I remember it was really wild going over to England where, I mean, we were like, you know, we were selling out CBGBs and all. And, I mean, kind of, there was a wild scene going on there, but when we got over to England, it was, we were playing for 3,000 kids, and everybody was already tuned into what it was that we were all about. And I remember at the time, the big thing going on in England was pub rock. Dr. Feelgood was the big band at the time, and Brimsley Schwartz, and you know, doing, I remember we were like treated like royalty when we got there. And then we did this club, Dingwalls, and basically the whole makeup of Dingwalls were all these kids that would later form their, these kind of groundbreaking bands of their own. And like at our sound check, we met like Johnny Rotten and Joe Strummer and all these people. And they were really, you know, they were totally taken with the band. And really, after that, when we left England at that point, you know, they told us that, you know, we had turned them on, kind of opened them up, and inspired them to form their own bands, basically. When we came back in 77, the whole thing was in full blown. And I feel like from that point on, you know, we really kind of brought upon a radical change that would really sweep the world, you know what I mean?
Popularity is at an all-time high in Europe, and in particularly places like South America.
Yeah, well, we're in South America. It's like this kind of mass hysteria that when we, especially like the last time we were there, it was just insane. Where, like for instance, in we landed in Brazil. And the airport was like, you had to walk into the terminal from outside, you know? And all these kids were on the outer deck of the like there was a deck at the terminal, outside deck, and all these kids were like screaming and just mobbing the deck. And when we went into the, to get our luggage, right? Like, the whole place was mobbed with kids, you know? We couldn't leave, like, the luggage area. Like, even all the passengers, they were all, like, we were all being held hostage. And because the place was just swarmed with kids. And so they took us to a courtesy lounge. They brought a bus onto the runway, and we got a police escort to the hotel. And it was like, really wild. And Argentina, it was like, I went to do a radio station, and I got like attacked by 1,000 kids, and it was like really scary, you know, because in South America they just they're very passionate people, and they literally love you to death, you know. They want a chunk of your flesh, you know. That's what, it's not like here. It's very primal over there, you know what I mean? I mean, it's great, but
it's got to be really different for
it's,
you.
It's very different when you kind of lose your sense of you know, well, you can't walk down the street, right?
And here in America, Spin magazine, not long ago, naming the Ramones one of the 7 most important bands in rock history with this quote, "No group in the last 18 years has been more important or influential." There's a real straight line from the Ramones to Nirvana. How did you feel when you saw that?
Well, it came, you know, it was unexpected. I didn't even know about the issue, you know. So when I found out, I was, you know, I mean, it was, you know, it was really great. I mean, it was kind of, you know, made me feel like there is justice in this world after all. You know, it was like a real honor. It was like really, really like the ultimate honor. And it was coming from... you know, other artists and critics and fans, you know what I mean? They're the ones who kind of were involved with the voting. I mean, I just thought it was great being up there with my heroes, like the Beatles and the Stones and Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin, you know? And I can't wait till tomorrow.
I can't wait another day. So the Ramones' new album, Mondo Bizarro, is out on a new label, but you've gone back to an old familiar producer. Ed Stasian, who of course worked on the early Ramones albums, Rocket to Russia and Road to Ruin among them, and probably there's no one else who could be more familiar with what the Ramones are all about than Ed Stasian.
Well, you know, we really love working with Ed Stasian, and he's been involved with us since 77, and nobody understands the band better, and nobody has the feeling, you know. I mean, Ed was always a big fan of rock and roll himself, and a fan of, like, exciting guitars, and, you know, and he understands how, you know, to record the band and kind of capture the excitement and power of what the Ramones are, and he does it best, you know. I feel this is our best album. I feel it's a real turning point in a lot of ways, and it's a real sacred offering, you know. I just think it's a masterpiece.
You talk about this new hunger, and I've heard that the Ramones have this new attitude, and after 12 albums and 16 years with one record label, you're with a new label, Radioactive, and I read somewhere that you've been getting some vocal coaching or singing lessons yourself lately. Is that true, Joey? And
well, two and a half years ago, I got sober, and that has a lot to do with my kind of new way of looking at things, let's say. You know, I got a whole different, I mean, I'm coming from another place that I wasn't coming from like 3 years ago. You know? And, you know, I mean, for me, this album in a lot of ways is kind of a spiritual record to some degree. I mean, it's just that everything I did I'm very focused, and I knew exactly what I wanted in the writing of the songs, what they are about, the music and the lyric content. You know, I mean, it's, I guess especially the songs that I contributed. And, you know, I just felt everything I did. I mean, it wasn't like I just did something, but I felt every nuance, every syllable. Because when I write, I write the bass lines and the guitar and the drums and the whole bit. And I just made sure that everything was exactly the way I envisioned it. So I feel like I fulfilled a vision. And this is an album I always sort of dreamt about making and never quite made.
Just hearing you talk about the record, it really sounds like it's a really positive statement for you.
Yeah, it's a real positive, optimistic record, you know. And I've never been really more proud of anything I've done than this, you know. I mean, this... I feel this is the best I've done up to this point. You know, I mean, the makeup of the Ramones is, you know, what kind of fuels us as our fans are, you know, it's the music, and it's sort of larger than all of us. And when we go out to play, I mean, you know, if you're fighting or not, you know, getting on with someone, it's all, you know, when you get out there and you play for the kids, I mean, it all seems trivial, whatever it was that... you know, and it all dissipates, and you don't even remember what it was, you know, by the time you get off stage, you know. And actually, on the new album, I wrote a song for our fans called It's Gonna Be All Right, which is kind of showing our appreciation for them. The coolest thing about our fans is that it's a very broad spectrum. I mean, we get kids into heavy metal and hard rock and thrash and hardcore and punk and alternative, and it's really the spectrum, you know. Fans from all different walks of life and different musical backgrounds and different races and creeds, and it's just like a big family kind of a thing. It's just it's like the great melting pot.
Tell me about some of the players on this album, and you and Vernon Reed sharing a cabbie experience?
Yeah, well, one night I left Overland, our office. It's up on 57th and Broadway. I grabbed a cab, and I was going down to the Village, right? So I got in this cab, and the guy took off, and he was kind of racing down Broadway, you know? And at first, it felt like a thrill ride. It was very exciting, you know? And then he started weaving in and out of the cars and trucks and other taxis. And it was a Friday night, and Friday nights are pretty congested in New York because everybody's going out. The disco was blasting out of the radio, and the guy was pretty oblivious to, you know, what was going on here. You know, I mean, it was exciting, but then it started getting nerve-wracking, and then we were approaching Times Square.